I want to ask you, brethren, something to follow these four scenarios of God. I have four scenarios, and I'm going to ask you what they have in common. Scenario number one. In World War I, even though she was severely wounded, her name was Cher Amy, saved the lives of 197 soldiers. Scenario number two. In 2011, even though she was small, she managed to pull an 83-year-old woman up a hill towards safety just before a devastating tsunami hit. Scenario number three. After being awakened in a flash flood, a farmer was saved from drowning by a dear friend. And the fourth and final one, an elderly lady was awakened by an intruder, only to find herself grappling with him. Just when she thought everything was lost, she was saved by a dear friend. Have you guessed? The common denominator all these scenarios have, brethren, have to do with animals and how they saved people's lives. Scenario number one, for further explanation, was Cher Amy was a carrier pigeon. In World War I, they used carrier pigeons to communicate from one bunker to another because it was trench warfare back then. And there was a battalion of soldiers that were pinned down that had sent two pigeons before her, and they were shot down. This particular pigeon got to her destination, even though she had a leg blown off and a bullet through her. And she was rated as a war hero. She lived 2 years after the war, even with her little wooden leg. Scenario number two, the 83-year-old woman and her pet dog would walk every morning along the coast in Japan. The old woman lived around 200 meters from the coast. But this particular morning, her little dog on a leash pulled her uphill for some reason. And she was very insistent, and the elder lady followed the dog, and it saved her life. And scenario number three, a farmer, happened to be a lady, was awakened by the rising water, and she didn't know how to swim, she was drowning. And the family cow went inside the house, and the lady latched on to the family cow, and they both floated until help arrived. And scenario number four, an elderly lady that was asleep, and an intruder came and grappled with her, and she was, right when she thought she was, all was lost, her family cat that slept on a bureau jumped on the intruder's back and scratched and popped and bit him until he let go. And that happened because it happened across the street from where we used to live. But I tell you these events, brethren, that involve women in this particular case, but involve animals saving lives of humans, their companions. True stories such as these are thousands. There's thousands of, and I'm pretty sure you know several of them yourself. My sermonette today is about respecting animals, brethren. The respect we should have for animals. As Christians, we should have more respect than the common person. They are in our lives. We as humans are doing a poor job as stewards of this earth. And I don't have to tell you, because I'm pretty sure you have many examples. God made everything on this earth, that lives on this earth, including the animals. In the beginning, the Bible says, God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds." Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals. And it was so. You can find that in Genesis 1:24. Mr. Mendez has explained what kinds mean. When we've all heard his explanation of Noah's Ark. How Noah brought all the animals to the ark according to their kind. It would have been a lot easier for God to say, okay, we'll just save Noah and his family and really kind of forget, I can make more animals. But he thought very important of them to save them. In order, you know, that was a tremendous task for Noah to make the ark huge in order to fit all those animals. And yes, the Bible commands us to take care of the animals. One of the signs of a righteous man is according to the Bible, and we're found in Proverbs 12:10. Let's go to Proverbs 12:10. Proverbs 12:10. King Solomon's acquired all these wise saying from all around the world and developed a book called Proverbs. And it says here, and it's a two-part, in Proverbs you'll find a lot of this, sentences that are broken up in two, and this is broken up by a colon. It says, a righteous man regards the life of his beast, and his beast can be our pets. At that time it was animals that worked for people were considered. But it says, colon, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. Again, in Proverbs, there's a lot of two-part sentences, or what they call independent clauses. You know, it's but we'll go back to the second part later about the tender mercies of the wicked. Let's concentrate on reiterating the first part of chapter 12, verse 10. A righteous person is one who believes in God and loves him completely, which includes the whole of his creation. In such a state of godly righteousness, people come to truly know the animals in their care, which includes their feelings, emotions, and desires. You get to know your pet. In our position, you know, a lot of us live in the city. We get to know almost, you know, what our animals are doing. And they pretty much, after being so many years with us, they know what, you know, how we're feeling or what we're doing. Or how, you know, if we're scolding them, they know they're being scolded. And at the farm, we pretty much the same thing, you know. They would want to give the animals their heart to desire, those Christians would, just as they want God to provide for themselves. This is what it means to regard the lives of all animals. We need to regard the lives of all animals. For all true sympathy and care must grow out of knowledge, the knowledge of God and what is love. And it is a requirement of all God's people towards animals. If this is what God wants from us, what does he say about people who don't have and exhibit this unconditional love and compassion towards animals? Ah, it's only a dog, or it's only a cat. Just as it's stated in the second part of Proverbs 12, verse 10, it says, but the compassion of the wicked is cruel. This means that the eyes of God, anyone who lacks compassion or sympathy or empathy for the well-being of all animals, is considered to be wicked. You've heard of those type of things that are done to animals, especially like before Halloween. You hear what happens to animals that they do, especially cats, I think. The atrocities that they do. Those are, if they do that to animals, just imagine the regard for human life. Cruelty towards animals is wicked. If you treat animals cruelly, how are you going to treat your fellow man? This is what it means to regard the lives of all animals. For all true sympathy and care must grow out of knowledge. And it is a requirement of all God's people towards animals. This is the lesson that God taught Jonah and us. He explained about his mercy towards a repentant city of Nineveh. Let's go to Jonah 4:11, brother. It says it in the last chapter, in the last verse of Jonah, God is explaining to Jonah something particular. And it says, and should I not have compassion on Nineveh, comma, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between the right hand and the left. He's asking Jonah to have some compassion, that these people that they have in Nineveh don't know the difference between the right hand and the left hand. In other words, they have pretty much no common sense. As well as many animals. See, Jonah wanted God to destroy the capital of Assyria because the Assyrians were brutal towards Jewish people. And some theologians say that even the Syrians, a lot of close family members of Jonah died at the sword of Assyrians. So he wanted God to destroy them. But before that, he was scared. That's why he went to he wanted to go to Tarshish. He went on a ship and he got thrown out. But he wanted God to destroy Nineveh. And God explains this last verse to Jonah because Jonah was telling him that he was sad. Why did he destroy the plant that was giving him shade? You know? So pretty much God was explaining to him, if you're asking me to have compassion over a plant, you know, why not the people that are repentant in Nineveh as well as their animals? And let's go to Exodus 23 real quick, brother. And when you're... Exodus 23. And it says something about animals that belong to your enemy. Because animals don't know the difference why you're at each other's throats, you know? Exodus 23, verse 4. If you come across your enemy's ox or donkey wandering off, be sure to take it back to him. Boy, that's something else. You know, if you see somebody that you're in a feud with, an animal, or the animal doesn't have nothing to do with your feud, take it back to him. Again, animals have no knowledge of what you and your neighbors are at each other's throat for. When treated with respect, it has an unconditional love for you and loyalty towards you. When I'm talking here, brother, most of the loyalty are coming from warm-blooded creatures, the mammals. Those are the animals that Exodus 23:13 we're talking about. You don't have to go there, but Exodus 23:13 talks about the Sabbath. And it's referring to for animals to be refreshed, for them to be rested also on the Sabbath. It is a commandment. That is part of respecting your animals, brethren. Even if most of the time the Bible talks about warm-blooded animals, regardless, we are to show respect to all animals, reptiles and insects, because they all have an important piece of the puzzle towards this environment, brother. Each one has a function. Yes, even the bees. When the city, and we had our comments this morning, several counties along the United States thought they were taking care of a problem with mosquitoes, and they compounded their problem three times more by killing millions of bees. And to the person that really doesn't know, they'd say, just bees. But we'll see that the consequence of doing that in a year or two. You're going to see that. You're going to see more, the fruits in your, it's going to be more than $1.49 per one peach. You know, it used to be 89, 70 cents a peach. Now it's $1.49 for a peach. When the city sprays, again, this city, we got together with our club, our bee club, and what they do, they put, it's more of a natural formaldehyde on the water. So if you see them spraying, it's not airborne. It goes to the water, especially to the two canals that they've outlined that they're where these West Nile mosquitoes are coming from. There's not too long far from here, there's a canal here, and it always has water. Well, that's one of the sources, by the way. Well, anyway, our bees and other pollinators have a vital connection with this whole planet, brother. So, and so are, so does other animals in this. And we say to ourselves, well, they're just animals. I've heard this, you know, when I'm growing up. Okay, let's say just animals. So I picked an animal here, and says, I picked the silverback mountain gorilla, okay? And I've heard commentators on sport comment, oh, he's just a lazy so-and-so, you know, he just has this so-and-so. They're talking about a gorilla that was in the zoo. Well, I did some research. A gorilla, unofficially, is 9 times stronger than an average man. He's 2 times stronger than the world's strongest man. And it can break open a coconut with one hand. Now, this is, I heard from the zookeeper when he was asked why he shot the gorilla that the little boy went into the zoo. And they said, well, why did you shoot him, you know? And he responded and said, this animal, I fed him. Says, when this animal fed him coconut, he could break it with one hand, you know? So we're dealing with animals have what they call brute strength. We don't have brute strength. That means their whole mind and their conscious goes to their muscle, and we don't. Along with this silverback, it has 46% of its body is muscle, and it only has 7% body fat, you know. Fortunately for us, the mountain back is very calm. It's not a very aggressive animal. But if it's you corner it, I'm pretty sure it'll be very aggressive. And we can go, the list can be long as we want, brother. Raccoons and bobcats, they're 20 pounds, but, you know, which one of us is going to grab one of those? And even the little white-tailed deer. You've heard accounts that white-tailed deers have killed people. And they're only, what, 100 pounds? 35 pounds? So we really are at the bottom of the food chain, if you think about it, the strength of animals. If they didn't have their natural fear for us, and if we didn't have a brain, we would be in very bad shape, brother. Here's an example of what, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but I did some research, and I've always been for the underdog. And unclean animals have, you know, throughout my church experience, have gotten a bad rap. You know, they're the janitors, they're the people, they're the people, they're the animals that clean up this environment. And here's an example of in India. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they're undergoing a real bad case of diseases and airborne pathogens. And the reason why is, as the major religion in India is Hindu. So a lot of these cattle and animals that die, they take them out to a certain area and they dispose them. Well, there's where the vultures come in and they eat them. Now, unfortunately, the vultures started dying by mass quantities until to the point of almost extinction. Now, this is very bad because, you know, thousands of people started dying and thousands of people started getting these unthinkable diseases that, you know, from the way back started coming back. So the Indian government asked for help, and they went to a vet named Dr. Lindsay Oakes. This is way back in 2003. He found out what the problem was, and it was due to the injections they give to cattle to improve them, to the steroids or whatever you want to put in your mind, the chemicals that is they couldn't absorb, and that's what killed them. And it's taken this long, this is 2016, and it's barely, you know, not even at the level it should be. Now, that's in fact, right now, matter of fact, there's 9 species of vultures found in India, and they're all at the point of extinction. That all that lack of these vultures eating these dead animals has brought the rats and the cats and the dogs to eat the carcasses. Now, God did not design rats, cats, and dogs as clean, or cleanup people. So, but they do spread disease. So that's where the problem is right now. Now, for your information, vultures are what you call dead end. In biology, call them dead end. Now, explain that. Dead ends means whatever they eat, brethren, whatever disease they that animal has or whatever they eat, it dies with the animal. It does not, the vulture, in other words, you can't get rabies from a vulture. You can't get, or any other diseases from a vulture, because his stomach, that's where it dies, right there. And if you look at it, it's hideous, yes, but it's, God put him here for a reason. He has a crooked neck. The reason why, because he can go inside cadavers and into the parts of animals that and eat. And he doesn't have any feathers on his neck or his head. And that's the reason why. So it can dry up easier. But that's an example of no respect. That's part of no respect to our animals. And the list can go on. That's a result of bad management. And as kings and priests in the world tomorrow, brother, that's going to be one of our duties. Kings means you're going to be in charge of whatever's there, including the animals. This, why? Because most of the humans don't have regards of ourselves or animals. And a lot of the world here has a lot of waste, and there are humans in general are dirty, and they physically mistreat animals. But unlike the animals, we are genetically getting weaker. You know, we are, because like Mr. Mendez has already explained, Neanderthal man was a lot stronger than we are now, you know. So besides being pound for pound, animals are stronger than us, and their natural fear, that's the only thing that's dividing us. We can't manufacture royal jelly. We can't manufacture it in ourselves, but the little bee can. That's the wonder of the of God's creation. When we do, we are in mistreating animals. We indirectly treating our Creator with contempt. Instead, God calls us to be stewards and trustees of His creation. And the Bible reminds us that we are responsible to Him for the way we treat our world and our animals. We often forget this, but it's still true. When we ignore it, we not only hurt God's creation, but we also hurt ourselves. Brethren, let's keep God's commandments.